I'll call us to order. Thank you all for joining us. First order of business is the approval of our agenda. If our group has looked over it, I'll entertain a motion.
So move.
Into the microphone.
So move.
Do we have a second?
Second.
It's been seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Hearing none opposed, the motion passes. Next up is the approval of our December 7th CAC meeting minutes. If you all have looked over it, I will entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
It's been seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Hearing none opposed, the minutes pass. Next up is our 2045 MTP amendment.
Good afternoon. I will give the presentation on this one. Basically, GDOT sent a request to us to include the US 17 Savannah River crossing right way face into cost band 2, 2028, and the cost is about $500,000. The reasoning is the current maintenance project is a short-term fix, so they want to study the longer term solution, probably replace Savannah, that Talmadge Bridge. So it was a feasibility study. So the feasibility study have some recommendations need to be reviewed by FHWA, and FHWA's take on it is, no, you have to have this right way face programmed or included in the long-range transportation plan before we review that. So that's just to satisfy that requirement. We conducted the financial balance, and GDOT indicated that they will have additional funds beyond the original revenues. Actually, even beyond that, we do have some balance in cost band 2 that can accommodate this study, because it's only $500,000. We recommend that CEC endorse this amendment.
Point of information. You said replace the bridge. I read a couple and heard some comments recently about just raising the level of the
cable.
Bridge.
Yes. Yes.
For the cables, with the, replacing the cables and.
Yeah. Shortening them. That is the project that is the.
I see there.
19, 19 to 19. Mm-hmm. So that's the one that's tightening the labels to raise the bridge by, what was it, like 1.5 meters or something? 5 feet or something like that.
I think it's a little over 5 feet is what they said.
Yeah. I think it's like 5 feet. Yeah. So it's about 1.5 meters. So they consider that a short term fix. Okay. So the longer term might be bridge replacement or tunnel or whatever. So that's why they had the feasibility study, but Georgia Ports Authority actually cocked up with the $10 million to do the feasibility study. We need to know what
they should pay for it. Okay.
Yeah, they should pay for that one. Yes, yes. So, but I don't know whether they will pay for the fund. Eventually, I mean, feasibility study, you come up with recommendations, right? So maybe the replacement of that bridge or tunnel or whatever. But that's why they did the feasibility study. But now FHWA refused to review the feasibility study recommendations alternatives. They say you need to have this right of way in before we start to review. So that's where we are. So we were just, okay, help them, because you don't want to waste all that money just on the study and without it going anywhere.
Any other questions for staff? Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor to recommend, please say aye.
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 Hearing no nays.
Okay, thank you. The next one is the TIP amendment. This is for the Truvanini Park Trail Phase 2B. Many of you are probably welcoming this new project, and it will connect Tumalini Park Trail Phase 2A from Durant Avenue all the way to 52nd Street. It will connect to Deffin Park. The story on this one is we originally programmed $6.4 million for this part for the construction phase, but City of Savannah's consultant didn't do a good job. They gave us a cost estimate about $3.8 million, and GDOT were only able to authorize the funds based on the cost estimate. So at that time, we knew the $3.8 million is not enough. But unfortunately, the consultant's cost estimate wasn't good. So if they estimated more, we would able to have all that money reserved for this project. But now, City of Savannah got the bidding, and they got three bids, and lowest bid is about $7.8 million. So, you know, it's like $4 million short. So, City of Savannah, they might have all the money, but they wanted to approach the MPO. They wanted to say whether we can cough up some federal dollars. So we checked our balance. We found out that between two funding sources, the carbon reduction program funding source and the Y230 funding source, we have about $250,000. I said, okay, that's the only thing that we can come up with. So you still have to come up with your own. So we will come up with about $250,000 of the MPO money, that MPO controlled money. They will come up with about $4 million. The city council has already awarded the contract to the lowest bidder. So we hope to have this project start construction very, very soon. And probably in 2 years, and you can bike or walk all the way from Lake Mayor all the way to Deffin Park.
Yeah, and that's connecting to the bike trail that already terminates at the police memorial.
Yes.
Bike trail. That's what's connected.
Yes,
to.
That's phase one. That's phase one. The portion that Chatham County completed is called phase 2A. So that's from Memorial to Durant. So this is the phase that's from Durant to 52nd Street. So we are adding the construction phase into fiscal year 2024. So after TIP amendments is approved by the Columbia Board, we will forward this to GDOT. Hopefully they will authorize the funds pretty soon. So we will request the CEC endorsement for the proposed TIP amendment.
I have one question. I guess in the future, does GDOT take into account how far off they were with the estimate for like future?
On ideal times, we probably could figure it out. But last May, at the end of May and early June, because I got information right on Wednesday afternoon, so I have to stay late to get this done, because some of the funds were lapsing on Friday. But I just, you don't want to have the funds lapsing, right? Because you will no longer have that funds. So, but at that time, that latest cost estimate, we were only able to rely on the latest cost estimate. But several months before that, we already asked the City of Savannah, please update your cost estimate so that we know how much. And they didn't. So they still give us $3.89 million. But on Wednesday, when I received the news that some of the funds will lapse on Friday, so we have to figure it out, because we have $6.4 million programmed for this project, and we were only able to authorize like $3.8 million. We still have some, we have to reallocate those extra dollars, like almost $2 million. So we actually got the Chatham County together as well, because fortunately they were applying for some of the, like you see this US 17 corridor study, 2-4 corridor study. And then they also have like a Green Island Trail project. So we do have several projects that we were able, ready to accept that money. So it's not we have the, we just don't have the luxury to do that. So it's just, you only have like one day to have the process before the funds lapse. So that's why I hope the City of Savannah did a better job. So this time it would be easier. So they would come up with less money, but unfortunately their consultant didn't do a good job.
That sounds like that consultant just made a serious error.
I think so too. Yeah.
And because even with our, I mean, I just finished a sewage treatment plant up in Bryan, about 5 miles west of the megasite, and we had an estimate that was just made pre-COVID. And then after that, everything blew up. And, you know, the expense, it was a 1.8 and then got up to 3.5 by the time it was finished. So, and that was out without error. So this guy, this consulting firm, you know, they made a serious error.
Yeah. Even the phase 2A from Lake Mayor to Durant Avenue cost more than $3.9 million. So Chatham County said that phase 2B is more complicated. It definitely would cost more than this. But unfortunately, that was the number that we have to go along with. So, but now we learned the lesson. So every time you need to like budget more money than less. Yeah. But unfortunately, this City of Savannah just have to come up with additional $4 million. Otherwise, they only need actually one of those money that they let go, $1.75 million, is 100% federal.
That's good.
I mean, they didn't have to have any local match, but they lost it. They lost it.
They didn't have the match.
Yeah. Well, no, they lost that because if the cost estimate was good, they got that $1.75 million without local match. But now it's like, okay, for all these funding sources, you got to have a local match and you also have to come with additional local funds. So that's why.
Well, all I can say is thank God it didn't erode.
Well, thank God they finally get it awarded. Otherwise, I mean, think about more further delay. This project will cost even more. So let's just help City of Savannah to get the funds so that they can start construction.
Thank you. Any other questions for staff? Do we have a motion?
I'll motion.
Yeah. I'll second.
All in favor, please say aye.
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 Thank you.
Motion passes. Next up is the FY 2024 through FY 2027 TIP amendments.
Okay.
We just did that.
Yeah, it's UPWP.
Yes, 2025 UPWP adoption.
Okay, I did a presentation on the UPWP in December, presented to you, so I will just focus on the updates since that. So everybody knows that UPWP, Unified Planning Work Program is the staff budget. So it's the details, how much money we get for the planning and how, that, the planning funds will be used, to pay our salaries over here, to staff to do the planning work. So what kind of work, like long range plan, update, TIP, all of that. So that's basically our budget. So we have three funding sources to fund the MPO functions. One is called highway planning. It's called PL. And another one is set aside of the PL is a Y410. That's for non-motorized transportation plan, bike path planning. Very, very limited amount for that. And then section 5303 for the transit planning. And all of these require local match. The local match is 20%, and Georgia DOT comes out with 10% for the section 5303, and our membership dues cover the rest of the local match. And this is the updated number that we actually got. So just to receive this on February the 1st, the PL funds increased by about, because when we developed the preliminary draft, when we presented that to you in December, we assumed last year's level because the updated numbers were not available. So basically, for the highway planning, we got about $8,000 increase. And then for the Y410, we got about $300 less. So these just updated numbers and the total amount for the MPO function is about $802,000. And we will use that money to do next year's major tasks and that all the activities related to MTP update, like the document, executive summary translation. And we will update the participation plan Title VI plan. And we will maintain and update the current TIP, and also research on a new, we want to get a new ETIP software so that we can you can do a searchable tip on our website, and also help us to do the call for projects so people can submit application information online, and so we can do the ranking and scoring online as well. So we're going to do that, and we will still finish this federal certification review to make sure the Quorum PO is certified, and then ensuring that the federal dollars will continue to flow to our area. And we will also continue to adopt the performance measures, PM1, PM2 safety, congestion and freight, and also a new program, the greenhouse gas emission new targets, and we will keep on working on that. And we will also have several special studies. For the ongoing studies, we'll continue to coordinate with the local project sponsors. Currently, City of Savannah and GDOT are conducting the I-16X ramp removal IMR update. They signed the agreement with Georgia DOT, because this just like, last time we actually, Quorum PO conducted IMR, and then FHW and GDOT refused to review the document because we are not the implementation agency. So this time, GDOT decided that they would take the lead. So they would do the RFP process. They will secure a consultant. So GDOT is the implementing agency. So when they have the study, you have the IMR report, and they will forward it to FHWA for review. So that if it workable, and we will start implementation on this one. And Chatham County have three studies, 204 access study, US 17 corridor study, and President Street Railroad Crossing Elimination Study. We added in the consultants because when we presented the UPWP in preliminary form in December, Chatham County was still in the consultant procurement procedure. But now they have consultants for all three studies. And we also inserted schedule because they have a proposed schedule for all three studies. And CAD has two studies, and we will continue to work with CAD on that as well. And we also have several unfunded studies listed over here. Regional truck parking study, resilience improvement plan, urban flooding model study phase two, bike path pedestrian implementation two, and Islands Expressway and US 80 corridor study, and the several studies from CAD. So these are the unfunded studies, and they're listed in the unfunded section. But after we adopt the 2050 MTP, staff will have some time to apply for funds to conduct maybe two or three of these studies. So depending on our staff availability and then also the urgency of the needs. So we will probably apply for the funds probably in September of this year. And another update in the UPWP, we updated the Quorum PO MPA boundary, planning area boundary, because Bryan County decided, Northern Bryan County doesn't want to be a part of the MPO, or actually they said Bryan County doesn't want to be a part of our MPO, but we found out, in South Bryan County, a lot of the areas, a lot of people actually, in unincorporated Bryan County live in Savannah urban area. So we have to take those areas in. And then there are some tiny holes over there we have to fit in. So they have to be part of us, and we cannot force them, but unfortunately that's the federal law. So they have to be part of us, and we have to take some of that area in. And can you
speak into the mic? Speaker?
Know that some of the people in the county are being served by us, and if they knew this, would they change their mind, you think?
They have to learn the lesson themselves. So what I can say is in 2010, after we have the 2010 Savannah urbanized area, and we need to expand to Southern Bryan County and southern half of Effingham County, Richmond Hill agreed to join. So Richmond Hill joined us since 2010. Effingham County backed out. And over the years, they learned, oh, we missed this, we missed that. Like the Old River Road project, that was a, I think, awakening call for them. They said, oh, So Chatham County can use the MPO controlled portion of the money, but we have to come up with, like, if it's $2 million project, $1 million in Effingham County, $1 million in Chatham County. Chatham County only needs to come up with $200,000 because the MPO come up with $800,000, right? But Effingham County has to come up with $1 million. We don't have the money. They don't have the money. So we have to give up that project. So they learned that. So this time Effingham County is very, very eager to join us because they understand the value of the MPO planning process. But Bryan County, no, they don't see it. They don't see it because they think, actually, when we talk about this, there's agenda item, the reapportionment agenda item attached to the CEC. You can read their letter because that's the letter and they actually have a resolution. They adopted a resolution not to join the MPO. So you can see their reasoning. But they don't understand the MPO process yet. They don't see the value of it. So it's just you cannot force them. So they have to learn. They have to learn.
So they're the southern part of the county is part of the MPO. They're just not participating at all.
They have to. When we go into details in that agenda item, I will explain to you. To show you all the scenarios. Okay, but because we have to include the boundary in the UPWP, so that's why I'm just telling you which part of the UPWP has been updated. The boundary is part of it. Yeah. And then financial information, I have already told you, because we allocated additional $8,000 to the admin to cover the certification review. And then we also incorporated the comments FHWA and GDOT sent us, you can see all of these incorporated in the UPWP. So the UPWP document, revised draft, is also included or attached to this agenda item. If you open that file, you can see all the highlighted in red text. Those are the ones that we have updated, like rosters, non-voting members or whatever. So you can see what has changed. Any questions? Okay, we will request the CEC to endorse the revised draft of the UPWP.
Second.
It's been seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Hearing none opposed, it passes.
Okay. No, I believe the next one, okay, since we are already talking about that, let me do the number eight first? Okay. So I have this letter to Chairman Ellis and also, the Bryan County. So if you want to review this, you can just, review this. It's just to say their reasoning, not joining us. But we did analysis, we decided Asia actually did all this analysis and she did a very good job. So we said, okay, you don't want to be a part of us, but let's find out, because according to the federal law, any area included in the Savannah urban area has to be a part of the core MPO, right? So we will see which part of unincorporated Bryan County is in our Savannah urbanized area. So this is the scenario one that we propose. I will just zoom in. So basically this pink color, the pink color is the one that is by census defined within Savannah urban area. So this pink portion has to be included in the core MPO planning area boundary. And then there are several holes. As you can see over here in Richmond Hill is the hash line. You see these lines in unincorporated Bryan County, but they are like surrounded by Richmond Hill. So if you take that out, I still don't know why Richmond hasn't annexed these areas, but anyway, they are still in unincorporated Bryan County, but we just have to include these areas in. So the only additional area that we included in is these several blue chunks you see over here. Because Richmond Hill is already in our boundary. They agree to be in our boundary, the whole municipality. So Bryan County, we have no choice for these pink areas. So it's just this blue, the tiny blue, tiny blue, tiny blue, tiny blue over here. So we just have to include. Because otherwise, how do you have your boundary with big holes? So this is the first scenario that we did. And the second scenario is actually basically this yellow. You see this yellow over here? So the second scenario, we decided, okay, the first scenario, you're cutting out roads, you're cutting out areas. Maybe the second scenario will be just filling this hole. So this boundary will be smoother. So for the new MPO boundary, that will be smoother. And this is the scenario. And we just include this portion. And you're still cutting out roads, actually, streets. So we decided, oh, maybe the third scenario is better. Third scenario is, okay, we're not going to talk about Northern Bryan County. We will talk about all of South Bryan County. It will be easier for us because you still have the roadways over here extending, but it will be included in the computer planning area boundary. It might be easier for us to plan or make improvements. But, okay, these are the three scenarios we presented to Bryan County, and then they come up with scenario one. They only agreed to scenario one. But even with the scenario one, still a lot of people live within the Savannah area boundary. So we found out, we did the calculation of population to see how many people live in within the boundary. It's more than 13,000. So basically, they just have no choice. They just have no choice. So they have to be a part of us. And then we probably will have to give them a voting seat as well. So I'm just going to show you the population, because this is we updated the MOU, because the MOU has to have to summarize all of these changes, but I'll just go to the last page. You can see this is updated population. So Richmond Hills population within our boundary, 16,000. Unincorporated Bryan County, 13,000. So it's not a small number. So we cannot neglect that. So they have to be a part of us. So what we were trying to do is probably have the Compute Board adopt this revised boundary in February. And then we will send everybody this draft MOU for comment for all the municipalities. And if they're okay with it, and we will adopt the MOU probably in April. So I'm just going to finish up this agenda item and just tell you what other things have changed.
Before you do that, I'm curious, what reasons do they give? We can't coerce, we don't want to coerce, and it's not out of the question, but why does Richmond Hill Bryan County, doesn't want to be?
What reasons
do they give for that?
The letter. This is the letter they sent to us. Bryan County objects to the expansion of the Compute boundaries and does not agree to be included within the MPO. And they actually have this resolution. And they decided.
Yeah, I think they got a list if you keep scrolling down. There.
Yeah, based on the following findings, North Bryan County is not an urbanized or urbanizing area as total population is less. North Bryan is mostly rural, low density area. So majority population growth is in South Bryan County. And the use of impervious area to indicate urbanization is not provided for in the federal law. The needs of the county residents, property owners will be better served by maintaining the county's current status. So basically, For me, because of Hyundai, so that relief, that relieves us from the burden of doing the planning for the Hyundai. So that means GDOT will probably have to do the planning, the transportation planning for the Hyundai over their area. But if GDOT doesn't want to do it, Brian can have to do it using their own money and do it. So these are the reasonings for not being part of us. The things that we cannot force them, so.
I wanted to understand what was going on, that's all.
Yeah. So, but it seems like most of these are focused on northern Bryan County, so that's why we decided, okay, we would not consider North Bryan County, we would just focus on South Bryan County, but let's make any sense in South Bryan County, and they still decided to go with the minimum requirement. So. Okay, for this reapportionment, besides the boundary change, we do have the MOU. So we have other changes. So in the MOU, the Bryan County, we made the correction. It will only include Richmond Hill, the portion of the 2020 census defined Savannah urban area that fall within unincorporated Bryan County and the area that are connecting those area with Richmond Hill. And also in the MOU, Effingham County give us a feedback on our language in the MOU is not accurate because we were saying the portion of Effingham County south of State Route 119 would be a part of the Cornfield boundary, but actually State Route 119 has tilted to the north. So if the language is described in the red over there, that means it will include more areas. So Effingham kind of indicated that is not accurate. So we actually changed the language to the portion of Effingham County south of State Route 119, and then it connects to Indigo Road and connects to Bethany Road. So that's cut the Effingham County into the southern half. So we actually changed the language to be more accurate to describe the area. And also since North Bryan County will not be a part of the MPO boundary, so we have to remove Pembroke because the Pembroke is located in North Bryan County. We updated the map to include the scenario one map in Exhibit A. In Exhibit B, regarding membership dues, and Effingham County agreed to pay 100%. They will pay 100% of the county's dues. So they will cover for Guyton, Springfield, and what was the other one? Rincon. Those three cities will probably rotate one seat, but the county will pay for all of their membership dues. Bryan County, currently Richmond Hill, current agreement, Richmond Hill pays for the portion that's included in the MPO boundary, but that is about 300 to 400 people. But now Richmond Hill, there's no way Richmond Hill agrees to pay like for 13,000. So they probably will have to divide that up. So we changed the language to Bryan County and Richmond Hill will split their county's share of the membership dues. And then regarding membership dues within Chatham County, remember last time we did the polling. So we want to do the election, for the MPO board. And the chairman indicated, okay, if we do the election on the Cornfield board, Chatham County is not going to pay 25% of the municipality's share. If you don't have election, I continuously to be the chairman, we will continue to pay 25%. So we did the polling because we are the only MPO that doesn't do the voting, doesn't do election on the MPO board. So we polled all the jurisdictions. So we were tallying the results. So far, Savannah, Tybee, and Pooler all want election. Thunderbolt and Garden City don't want election, and we are still polling the other members. So we will probably continue for the next 2 weeks, and so we will show the results. So eventually the majority will win. So we will see if the majority won the election, and we'll just that will be based on the population. That's how the calculation will do. And CAT. Also, because they don't do as well financially as GPA, of course, or Savannah Airport. So they approached us about this. So we decided that we will use the 60th percentile for CAT, for the modal representatives, and the GPA and Savannah Airport will still have the 70th percentile. So that is the during the membership, for the membership dues. And also Exhibit B, I already showed you the population, and that has been updated. And the bylaws, so depending on the final tally results, and we will decide what we will have the election. But we will probably continue to work with you, probably CEC and ACAT. We need to schedule a meeting as soon as possible so that we can decide on the membership. And then our meeting frequency, I think all the members, since you have been active participating, I think probably we'll be just to carry forward, yeah, with the current members. So just, we just need to set up a time so that we can revise the bylaws. So any questions on this besides the Bryan County situation?
You had said in the presentation, I think I went to the virtual one on Zoom. That was that last week. We're the only MPO that doesn't have elections.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We have 16 MPOs in Georgia. All the other 15 have elections. Yes. We are the only one. And the holdup is the Chatham County Commission Chairman.
What advantage does he gain by not?
Yeah.
Why does he oppose it? Do you know?
Because under the current system, he automatically becomes the chairman.
So he wants to keep his office.
Yeah. Yeah. He wants to keep on being the chairman.
That's the only reason you think he has for that.
Yeah. But CEC has election. TCC has election. I mean, ACAT has election. Every committee has election. So actually, I think in Georgia, we are the only MPO. A board that doesn't have election. I think nationwide, the majority have election. I would say 99% have election probably. So it's very hard to justify not to have election.
Any others?
Have we always not had elections, or did it just start recently?
Actually, I think TCC, previously CEC and ACAT had elections.
Okay.
But the TCC and Quorum Board didn't have election. So during one of those certification review, a federal certification review, and the Federal Highway Administration and the Federal Transit Administration indicated, you gotta have elections on this, right? So we implemented TCC election, because previously the MPC executive director is automatically the TCC chair. And the director of transportation department is the vice chair. And we decided to actually it makes more sense to have elections. So Chatham County has been chair. City of Richmond Hill has been chair. Actually, Garden City has been vice chair. So it's like I mean, it actually works better. I think the reason they set up that way previously is because they struggle to have quorums. So if you have like MPC, a director and executive director, you at least you have two members present, right? So I think that was the reason, the quorum. But I mean, we didn't have problem with TCC ever since we had elections. We always had a quorum. But the MPO, since last reapportionment, we already decided to have election on the Quorum PO board. And then the Chatham County chair at that time was, I think, Mr. L. Scott. He said, hell no. Okay, we give up. But this time, we will try again. So we're still doing the polling. Hopefully, we will have the majority in favor of voting. So, yeah, we did talk to Federal Highway, and they were saying, can you wait? I mean, you're going to have an election this year. Can you wait until the election over? Maybe the new chairman will be more open. But what about... what if the new chairman is still not open to the option? So might as well just do it now.
Any other questions for staff?
Well, the current chairman, yes, please. The current chairman still got another term to serve, doesn't he?
I don't think so, right? He's eligible for a re-election, right?
He's in his second term?
This Chester Ellis, yeah, he's in his second term.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
He's in his second term? No. I think he can run again, right? Yeah, he has to run again, yeah. Yeah.
So if he runs again and he's reelected, that's four more years of unelected.
Yeah, but now at least he's open to having this like a polling to determine. So he's not like from the very beginning he's strongly against it, but now he's open. So we do this polling. So we will see what happens.
Any other questions? Cool. Thank you. We can jump back up to number five of our status reports, the 2050 MTP update.
Okay, I'll just give a very quick update on this one. We are actually, there are several things going on. The travel demand model, we actually had the GDOT actually give us a presentation at the TCC. It is very technical, the travel demand model. Basically, we use the model to project the future needs. So you can see it's actually attached to the TCC agenda. You can see where the problems areas are on the network, and also we provided they completed the base year model run and the 2050 or horizon year do nothing run model run. They're still going to do the E plus C. That's existing project plus committed projects. Committed projects means the project have construction programmed in the current DIP. We already provided that information, and it's also attached to this agenda. So we have four projects that have capacity building. So that is the next model run. And then the next one, we need to provide the projects that have right-of-way programmed as well and the preliminary engineering programmed as well. So they're going to run that, and eventually we will see what kind of projects will come up from the model, because the model will show where the congestions are, level of service, so what kind of improvements will be made. So they should have several models to run. And contributing plans, Asia is going to talk about non-motorized transportation plan with you. And we have the preliminary draft for the congestion management process, which is next agenda item. We have this, and the staff, we did an internal review. So we are presenting to you. So if you're interested, you can just review that document. Basically focus on section 9 and 10, because section 9 is where the findings are, where you see the congestions. And then number 10 is the solutions. So previous ones would be performance measures and data collection, all that. And both projects, both plans will fit into the 2050 plan. And Anna is doing the resiliency planning. She has conducted several meetings, for the using the VAST too. She has already started a chapter on the resilience planning for the 2050 plan. And, we will start to work on the financial plan development, because previously, based on the previous boundary, GDOT was supposed to give us the revenue projections for the next 25 years. But unfortunately, GDOT got that letter from Bryan County before we did. So they actually called a meeting with us to say, okay, do you know that your boundary will change? So because our revenue projection was based on the boundary. So we decided, okay. On February 28th, after MPO board adopt new boundary, GDOT will derive the revenue projections. So we will start that. But in the meantime, we are developing the prioritization methodology. So we are going to start the prioritization of projects, because we can have the prioritization before the revenues become available. So when the revenue become available, and we will just match to see which projects the highest priority will put it into the plan. And we also have a framework for the 2050 report, MTP document, and we will start to work on the different elements as soon as the information is available. So any questions on this? The supporting documents, actually, you can say there are more. If you want to see more what we submitted to GDOT for the travel demand model, you can see the first and second network, third network, and the resiliency chapter. And if you have questions, and Anna can answer some of the questions. And project prioritization over here, we have that this is the preliminary draft of the methodology that we would like to use. I just want to let you know. Any questions?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Next on our agenda is the CMP update. I know you just touched on it.
I just touched on it. So this is the preliminary draft, and it doesn't this one hasn't included the internal staff comments yet, because Asia, Anna, and myself, we also provided some comments. So Genesis in the process of incorporating our comments. But if you have comments, forward it to us, and we will forward to Genesis so that she can incorporate. So like I said, this is a very, very big document and very comprehensive. Some maps are still missing because we're still working on getting the maps done, like congestion locations or crash locations, something like that.
You need his comments.
Hmm?
When would you need his comments?
We want to have the CMP done probably in April. So if you have, try to get all the comments to us probably in March, if possible.
Any other questions? All right, thank you. Number 7, non-motorized transportation plan status update.
Okay, good evening, everyone. I'll be giving that status update. So staff is continuing to work on the non-motorized transportation plan, and this plan is a document that addresses the development of bike and pedestrian infrastructure in the Core MPO planning area. So the goal of this plan is to identify new projects, assess the needs of the community, and set new goals for bike and pedestrian infrastructure. So some of our current activities regarding updating this plan is actually mapping out some of these newer projects. This is just a broad map of some of the projects that we've identified. I've actually identified a few more projects, so I'll be updating the map again. And so in addition to mapping out those projects, we have been reviewing the scoring criteria and methodology, and we've been trying to update it. So the reason why we wanted to make changes to the scoring methodology is to add more equity measures to make protected bike and pedestrian paths a higher priority, also account for some of those shared use paths in which both bike and pedestrian activity can occur on the pathway. We also wanted to account for the increased development in the Savannah area because a lot is happening. And then we also wanted to simplify the scoring process because the original scoring process that was set in 2014 was extremely detailed, which is a good thing, but we also thought maybe it would be good to simplify that. As well. So staff met with the steering committee twice in January to discuss possible additions and updates to the scoring methodology, and we received some great feedback on that. And so this is just a draft of a simplified version of the scoring criteria. So instead of having two, as was in the original 2014 non-motorized transportation plan update, we merged it into one, and we retained these measures from the original 2014 plan, and then we added these new measures. And then we've also been toying around with some additional measures such as Justice 40 and transportation disadvantage data that has come out from the U.S. Department of Transportation. And just for reference, this is the 2014 methodology. So this is for the pedestrian project prioritization. And I won't go into that, but you can read the report to see that original methodology. And then this is the bicycle project prioritization criteria. So a lot longer, a lot more measures, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But for the purposes of this plan, it might actually be also beneficial to simplify that somewhat. So after an additional meeting on February 8th, it became clear that we do, on some level, have to update the 2014 scoring criteria because there are some things that in the past 10 years have changed since it was first set. And so it was decided that since we have to update it anyway, we may as well do a more major update of that scoring criteria. So it's officially decided that we will be updating it, and we are trying to look into using GIS to aid in the update process. Just because since we do have to update that old scoring criteria, everything that's in the previous plan has to be rescored. So that would be rescoring about 500 projects. And so doing that one by one is difficult, but if we had GIS to kind of automatically do the process, that would be a lot easier. So that's kind of where we're at in terms of the scoring criteria and methodology. If anyone has any experience with scoring methodologies and using GIS or spatial analysis for that, that would be great. Or if you could point me in the right direction for that, that would also be great. But we have some meetings with some people that have more of that GIS experience coming up as well. Additionally, so the scoring criteria isn't the only place where we want to emphasize some of those important factors. We're still going to detail all of that information throughout the non-motorized transportation plan document. So if something doesn't necessarily make it into the project prioritization list, we'll still make sure it has a presence in the document somewhere. Are there any questions? All right, thank you.
Do you have one? Thank you. I believe that was our last status report. And I also believe we don't have anyone online for public comment. Our next meeting will be on April 18th at 5:30 PM. Feel free to look at the notices and give staff any of your questions between that time. With that, I'll adjourn. Thank you all.